and welcome to On the Brink Radio, broadcast number 229. This is Chief Wifferson, Chief Phelps, here in New Zealand, recording this beautiful, relevant, significant, and inspiring broadcast of On the Brink Radio from Peyton's Rock Beach near Takaka, Golden Bay, to Waipanamu, South Island, New Zealand, Gondwana Land, Mother Earth, Solar System, Galaxy, Milky Way, Universe. It's December 27th, as we reckon our calendrical system, the Gregorian calendar. On my last show, I talked a bit about our different reckonings of time. And I'll sort of continue in that vein a little bit before the main body of the show will be giving a retrospective of what the past year, i.e. revolution of the Earth around our star, the Sun, or Teoa. The main body of the show will be a look back at this year, 2017, that to me has been very powerful and beautiful. A lot of people haven't liked it. And I don't think as many rock stars died this year as they did in 2016, or so we're told, but anyway, we call this the year 2017, and that is in the Gregorian calendar, 2017 years since the presupposed birth of Jesus H. Christ. I don't know what the H ever stood for. Heaven. It's very interesting how we reckon time. As I said in the last show, the earliest macrochronologists were astronomers, and the earliest climatologists were geologists, which makes a lot of sense. What we're talking about is calendrical relativity and temporal plasticity. Now, it's just observing to my friend, the legendary James Wilkinson, musician. Oh yeah, by the way, the music you're hearing behind us, behind this broadcast right now, and in the beginning, is a very, very wicked awesome jam that took place at the Takaka Market here on Saturday a week ago, which was about the 19th of December, I think. I went there to put a few of my rocks out, and James Wilkinson and Kate Liddell, awesome guitarist and violinist, were getting ready to play there. So I was filming them, and they said, "Jeff, hey, come up here and join us on your flute." And so I had jammed with them before out at Grant Knowles' place, but this was totally unexpected. And so thanks to Ananda Knowles, a.k.a. Hippie Wizard, who filmed us using my camera, we have an almost complete recording of this jam. I was playing my F-sharp Native American high spirits flute, James Wilkinson playing assorted acoustic guitars, and Kate Liddell violin, a custom violin that someone built for her in Indonesia that has a set of resonating strings down below the main strings. Anyway, this jam turned out so fantastic, oh my god, that I'm really trying to get us, or at least James and I, together at Ian McAllister's studio in Christchurch before I fly to Hawaii later in January. And Kate may not make it, but at least she might be able to add in some of her violin later. But this is really, really cool music. But I was talking with James yesterday about how it's possible for people or objects or beings can sort of be in the same space, but they're not in exactly the same space. Like, your body is not exactly taking up the same space as the person next to you. Because if it was, your bodies would intersect. So we can be in a similar localized proximity, which is kind of one of the definitions of like being in someone's space. I mean, it's close to them, but we don't occupy the same exact space. We have discrete spatial coordinates. our autonomy as beings. It's kind of, that's what the definition of it is. If you share the same space, your identity would fuse with whatever it is you share the space with. It's kind of like in that movie The Fly, when he transported himself, he two objects that had previously shared space became cross with each other, so that they then shared the same space, although they neither one of them could be identified as the being that came out on the other side. But when it comes to time, an infinite number of people, beings, or objects could all exist in the same time without any problem or contradiction of any kind. And when you step back and think about that, the entire universe, all times, all of eternity, all of simultaneity, that some people speculate it's all happening right now, past, present, and future, it's all there. That which has happened a long time ago, and that which will happen a long time in the future, it all exists now. Or so they say. David Bohm would say that this is enfolded into the substrate of the implicate holo movement, but it's the explicate holo movement, which is the manifestation of all these latent probabilities and possibilities. That's what we experience, and I don't think it's possible for a human being to totally experience either the implicate or explicate holo movements in their totality simultaneously. There's enough. That was an exercise in metaphysical polysyllabicism. Anyway, this year, 2017, if we wanted to really be more sort of scientifically accurate, we could gauge the number of years since the, what astronomers call the Big Bang, the giant explosive manifestation whereby the universe was born from a giant flash of ohm. And I could probably come up with a few figures, but I think it's on the order of what they believe now, if you want to reckon it in terms of years, around 10 or 12 billion years. So theoretically, we could make a wild guess and say that this year, 2017, is actually 10,487,832,812.932 ABB. That's after the Big Bang. So what if you had to write that on your, when you signed the guest book or on a check that you wrote? Instead of December 27th, 2017, you had to write December 27th, 10,487,832,812.473 ABB. It's a bit cumbersome. There's other ways that we can reckon, like what today is, for example. We could reckon today as the day of a specific average, mean, and median temperature of the air wherever we are, however you choose to measure that, which would be totally arbitrary, because no 2 days are going to have that exact same figure. No 2 years are going to have that same figure. So this could be the year of blah, 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 average, median, and mean temperature. That's focusing on the temperature variable that's oh so popular in the mass media public mindshare of today. Whereas we could also look at, for example, this could be the year of a specific average, median, and mean quantity of oxygen in the atmosphere at a certain location, or of nitrogen, or of, yes, even carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is our friend. We should not think of anything bad about carbon dioxide. We could also think of this day or this year as the moment of a particular and specific pattern of stars in the sky. Because if you were able to perceive or look at, remember, or record or quantify, measure or geometrize the precise relationship of all the stars in the whole sky for 360 degrees around, it's never been like this before, and it'll never be like this again, because everything's constantly changing, oh so slowly and infinitesimally, in fact, astronomically small, but it is changing. So every moment of every day, and especially by the time a year's gone by, the sky is going to be totally different if you were able to perceive these very small movements. And this is an advert for the Hallmark card company. If it wasn't for Hallmark, we probably wouldn't even have sacred moments in time for the marketing paradigm, like Father's Day, Mother's Day. We don't have a brother or sister's day or aunt or uncle's day, but we do have Memorial Day, Boxing Day, the Queen's birthday. We don't have the President's birthday, but we do have George Washington's birthday. We have Columbus Day, but we don't have James Cook Day. We have Anzac Day, but we don't have Hiroshima Day or Nagasaki Day. We should have greeting cards for all of these. What would make a nicer card for someone's fridge than a giant mushroom cloud honoring the dawn of the most destructive force yet unleashed by the Homo sapien macrovirus? In fact, that could be another way that we could reckon time. We could say that 2017 is the year 72 PSA, i.e. 72 solar revolutions post the splitting of the atom. Why not? The remainder of this show will be kind of an outline of the most significant and salient events that I experienced this past solar year. It's kind of like a journal, you might say. In January, I was on the South Island of New Zealand here. I think I was actually in Golden Bay, visiting Grant Nulls for the first time in about 15 years, I think. That was a really fantastic experience being here then, and I felt such a good energy. That's why I was inspired to come back again later, about a month ago. Then in the middle of January, I flew to Hobart, Tasmania, which was the first time I'd been to Australia in the middle of summer in quite a long time, in many years. And so actually it wasn't nearly as hot as I expected. The weather in Tasmania wasn't that different from what I'm experiencing right now here on the South Island. Stayed at the Hobart Hostel Backpacker for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then I went up, stayed with a friend of mine on the north central shore of Tasmania. And it was there that the day occurred when I made my third attempt to walk out to this little island that you can only access at low tide. And I made it. I timed it right and made it out there, and I was coming back, and the water was a good bit higher than I thought and coming in faster than I expected, and the toe of my left shoe snagged on a rock, and I didn't fall down in the water, but I sort of bent down a bit, and my camera bags got submerged under the water for a split second. The video camera bag was all right, but my Nikon bag was open and the camera got doused with seawater. This is a story I've told before, but the camera was permanently damaged beyond repair, which I found out a week later once I got it to the shop in Melbourne. After that happened, I went to see my beautiful friends at Lorena, this lovely little community in northwest central Tasmania, not that far as the crow flies from Cradle Mountain. My friends Wouter and Elise and their kids, Arun and Gita, and Annie and Bart, and Wouter's mom, Christina, was there from Belgium, and they were having Gita's birthday party, which was really, really special. And that was a lovely gathering of people. I hadn't been there in about 3 years. And it was thanks to my wonderful friend, almost a brother, Rob Alliston, who invited me there to house sit in his yurt about 3 or 4 years ago. And I really look forward to going back and spending a lot of time there next time I go back to Tasmania. Wouter is growing beautiful certified organic produce. And I also spent some time in Deloraine with this really cool bloke named Alfred Fronson, who owns a shop called Seppenfeld's, and his partner Izzy and their kids. And that was really, really cool. And I also, there I met a guy named Ronald Winkle, who owns Marlene Herbs. Ronald grows organic, 4 varieties of organic lavender. Yes, I had a really fantastic 3 week or so visit to Tasmania. Then I went to Melbourne, pretty much straight to the camera clinic, and got my lens in the shop there, which they were able to repair, and went into Michael's camera and just asked what kind of used Nikons they had. And my friend Peter Zolotaroff pulled out this Nikon D4S that was in really good condition. It had only had a few tens of thousands of photos taken on it. It had been really well taken care of. And so I fantasized that that was the camera that I needed, which it really is. But I went like, how am I ever going to raise the money to pay for that? This was in February. Well, that's the camera that I got, or that's actually, it's been shipped to me, but it's not here yet. So it's almost in my hands, but through the help of many, many, many wonderful, very beautiful friends who've supported me and bought my art, I've been able to pay for this camera and even more. Did a few errands in Melbourne, and then I went up to Sydney and pretty much went straight to the Blue Mountains, where I stayed at the YHA Backpacker, only because I was trying to go and visit an area in the remote part of western New South Wales called the Warrumbungles to visit some comet researchers, specifically Malcolm Hartley and his lovely wife Laura, who had invited me to come and stay with them. So I had to spend the night at the YHA in Katoomba, but it was really, really nice. I had met some nice people, and for backpackers, it's pretty cool. And it's possible I could end up going back there to do some artwork someday. Went up to the Warrumbungles for about a week and a half and got to stay with Malcolm and Laura and do a bunch of art and paint some diprotodon rocks and go up to the Siding Spring Observatory and see the Anglo-Australian Telescope. And the chief engineer, Glenn Zanison, took me on a tour inside there, and he let me play my flute down inside the central core of the telescope, which turned out really, really fantastic. Great reverb. And while I was there, it rained for the first time in many, many months, which was a very cool thing to experience. Then I returned to the Blue Mountains and learned of a very large canyon area. I'm not spelling it or pronouncing it exactly right, but it's like Capertree, Capertree National Park, sort of between the Warrumbungles and the Blue Mountains. But supposedly it's the largest single canyon in Australia, and in terms of area, as large as or larger than the Grand Canyon, but it's not nearly as deep and not nearly so variegated with all the different side canyons and tributaries and things like that. But it was really fantastic. I like to go back there sometime, as well as back to the Warmbungles. That place was so powerful. It gave me a very tangible bioelectric buzz for that persisted for at least a week or two after I left there. I really was commenting to my friends on feeling that energy persist for so long. Then I went to my great friend Tony Martinich's house, who lives near Kallang, which is near Bellingen on the north, just inland on the northeast coast of New South Wales. Tony and I had met in 2004 when I was hitchhiking down through Western Australia, and I was riding with this couple from England, and I was getting really sick of being with them because all they did was complain about how they didn't have much money, but yet they were loaded. And it was really bizarre. And we were sitting at a place called the Python Pool in Chichester Millstream National Park, and I was sitting there, and the couple was sitting over on their rock, and I was sitting there. And then this guy and this girl walk up, and we hadn't seen anybody all day long. I mean, this is a very, very remote area. And the chick had on a little hillbilly hat and a snorkel, and she jumped in the water and started snorkeling around. And the other guy that looked kind of like he could be my younger brother came over and started talking to me. He was from Germany, and he said, Jeff, you know, I see the vehicle you're in, and I wanted to ask if you guys might have room for me to ride with you if you're going south down to Perth, because I'm trying to get there for a plane flight, and Tanya is going really slow. She wants to do all these side trips and go four-wheel driving and stuff, and it's taking forever, and I've got a plane to catch. And I go like, well, you know, his name was George, I believe. I go like, George, you know, that's very interesting, because even though I haven't seen your vehicle yet, I was going to ask you guys if the same thing, if I could ride with you, because I'm getting sick of riding with this couple from England. And so we traded. George went with them and made it for his flight back to Germany, and I went with Tanya in her 78 Land Cruiser that had dual fuel so that it could head over 1,000 kilometers of range on petrol and LPG. And so Tanya and I spent about a month four-wheel driving all through places like Cape Range on the backside of the Exmouth Peninsula and Carnarvon, the Kennedy Ranges. It was really, really super cool. Coral Bay. We didn't go to Mount Augustus, whose indigenous name I don't know off the top of my head. That's about a 300-kilometer trip inland, sort of from Carnarvon or the Kennedy Ranges in there. But I'd like to go there sometime, too. Anyway, last year I went and stayed with Tanya and her partner Phil from England for a couple of weeks, and that was really cool. And so this year I went back again, stayed with them, and did them a really nice painting. And it was cool because there, the ground had been so dry. They hadn't had rain in like 10 months, and it was so dry the earth was starting to split with these giant cracks, and all their plants were dying and everything. And so while I was there, this massive rainstorm came, and it basically rained for 3 weeks and eased, ended the drought and made everything spring to life. And so this was yet another example of my association with rain that often manifests whenever I go to hitchhike. But that was really cool. There was all these beautiful black cockatoos that would fly, because their house was kind of up high and on a hill, so the black cockatoos would fly literally like right past the deck and make their really cool. I could hear a lot of their sounds that you'd normally never hear. And a bunch of king parrots came, sat in this dead tree, and they have about 75 varieties of bamboo. And there was these cute little donkeys up the road where I would walk or bicycle, and that was really nice to go and see them, give them some banana and apple every day. We went out to Yeranga on the coast, and I got some Go-To Cola. I got a second crop of Go-To Cola started for them that their first crop last year got eaten by birds while they were gone. Then I bypassed Byron Bay this year and went to Noosa to visit Barbara Randall, who's the widow of Uncle Bob Randall, the well-known and beautiful indigenous elder who was one of the custodians of Uluru, who I had painted this really special rug for, and who I saw in this John Pilger film called Utopia. And from Noosa, hadn't been there in 15 years, went to Magnetic Island or Yunbanoon, and was able to stay with this really lovely woman named Glenda Lucas, who I had met there the year before. She had been a nurse in the Central Desert at a community called Hermansburg. And she and her two dogs, Alice and Choo Choo, had moved back to Magnetic Island last year after living in the Central Desert for 30 years. And so this time she let me come and stay with her for a couple of weeks, and that was really, really cool. And then I landed this gig to paint these four murals for a resort there. So that took me about a month. Did that. And then I made the big jump over to Darwin. I rode the Greyhound bus for 48 hours, including a stopover in Tennant Creek, which was actually pretty nice. And went and stayed with my lovely friends Gregor and Aquaria, who Lisbeth and I had stayed with for a couple of nights in our final nights in Darwin there back in 2010. And that was really cool. Stayed with them for a few weeks. I was there for the winter solstice and there for the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the day that Lisbeth and I met there in Darwin. Saw my great friend Peter Chumley for the first time since 2010 and met a lot of Gregor and Aquarius friends and their daughters' friends, and they're affiliated with the Steiner School. And saw my beautiful friends Ursula and Greeny that own a fruit and veg shop there, and met this really cool guy named Paul Jolidon who let me use his bicycles, and got adopted by the people at Eva's Cafe at the Darwin Botanical Garden, where I sat and had my ultimate art studio and became friends with some beautiful trees there. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience in Darwin. Rode the bicycle and swam in the ocean every day in places where there's crocodile signs, but I watched and I didn't get eaten. And the weather was just absolutely perfect and beautiful. And helpexing at Gregor and Aquarius' house was this lovely French guy named Gaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N. And we got to be friends. He helped me do some After Effects work on a little film project, and I rode with him in August down to Uluru. So we had a week or two of staying in Alice Springs, and we went to Uluru, Katajuta, and the Mutajulu Waterhole, and that was really, really powerful. I hadn't been to Uluru since 2004. Then I came back, and Gaetan left, and I stayed with Margot Northey, who's a really cool Gregor Rennick's aunt. Stayed with her, and then I went and stayed at the YHA Backpacker. Had to stay there for a night, and they saw my art and invited me to paint a mural, which ended up being my version. I call it the Sister of the Rainbow Serpent mural, and got official spiritual permission from Aboriginal artist Harold Thomas, who's Aranda from that area, and he designed the Aboriginal flag back in 1970. He gave me official spiritual permission to paint this mural, which was cool. Really liked Alice Springs, and the YHA wants me to paint more murals when I go back. Then I met this really cool guy named Shingi from Africa, who was the bus driver down to Adelaide, where I saw my beautiful friend Elk Kovirichak, who I hadn't seen in well over 10 years, and met her husband Darren and her kids and stayed with her for a few days. And beautiful, beautiful time seeing her. And reacquainted myself with Adelaide and stayed at this backpacker there called Shakespeare's for one night, where Elizabeth and I had stayed. And I didn't have time to make it to the Flinders Ranges, but I'll do that next time. But I did make it down to Kangaroo Island for the first time. And I learned that its indigenous name is Kata, K-A-T-A. So there I met some really cool people, including this guy named Jeff Prideaux, who does a lot of work about dangers to marine mammals, specifically noise and sonar and seismic testing. So that was a very interesting connection. but I only spent a couple of days there, so I'd really like to go back to Kangaroo Island. Then I rode across on the bus to Melbourne, visited the William Ricketts Sanctuary, and did some photography there. I loved that place so much. And then I went up to Sydney for a night or two, and it was right on the full moon, and my friends there took me to this rock art site, very similar to the Byami Dreaming site at Bulgandri near Gosford. Then I flew to New Zealand and spent one night in Auckland and went straight out to my beloved Aotea, or Great Barrier Island, where I stayed until about a month ago. And I'd really like to thank my lovely friends, John and Peggy and Garlic, for a beautiful, beautiful time there, and Grandmother Pahutakaua and all the birds and the trees. And oh my God, I love Aotea. And then for the past month, I've been down here in Golden Bay in Takaka, my friend Grant Knoll's place. And the weather's been awesome. Just until the past few days, it's been kind of chilly and raining a bit, which they really need. But it's been a very lovely, productive time. And the Great Spirit has renavigated me away from returning to Australia immediately. And I'm going to Hawaii in about, a little less than a month. And this time I'm not only going to visit the Big Island and film and record the lava flowing into the ocean, but also I'm going to visit Maui and hopefully climb down inside the Haleakala volcanic crater and visit some lovely friends there. And also I'm going to visit Kauai for the first time and visit the legendary Terry Lilly, the marine biologist and underwater photographer who I've interviewed so many times on this show. So it's going to be a very, very, very powerful time. I'm going to get a lot of intense nature photography done and see a lot of cool friends and make a lot of progress towards my work on behalf of Mother Ocean, or my Ohana Moana, as you'd say in Polynesian. And last Sunday, Christmas Eve, I had a very awesome day. It was the first actual hitchhiking of any length that I'd done in about 3 years, and I had to hitchhike from Takaka to Nelson, which is about a 2.5-hour drive, but I got one ride early in the morning with a bloke who turned around and came back and got me, and it turned out he's a top filmmaker in New Zealand named Tony Simpson, and one of his feature films is currently in the cinemas all over New Zealand. It's called Kiwi Christmas. It's kind of a children's story about how Santa Claus' sleigh gets shot out of the sky by an errant firework. And I haven't seen it, but anyway, we had a very interesting conversation. He was just going to Nelson to get the boat motor fixed so he could then come back for his family who was camping out here at Totranui. So I was able to actually ride back with him, but I had two or three hours in Nelson where I was able to catch up with two different lovely friends for coffee. And I had more sweets that day than I've had in the previous month. Got my little bureaucratic errand done and made it back and did an hour-long interview with Tony on the way back, primarily about films and filmmaking and stuff, but other cool topics and stuff too. So, but it really inspired me. It reminded me of how cool hitchhiking is and how powerful and competent and beautiful my guardian angels are. Well, anyway, I guess that's about all I have to say for now. As if that weren't enough blabbing, I'd like to wish you all Happy New Year. That's N-E-W. But you could also use the phonetically isomorphic words new, which is G-N-U, which is sort of an aquatic, quasi-aquatic mammal, kind of like an ox or a buffalo. And nu, N-U, which is the Greek letter that's in science, in physics, they use it to stand for frequency. It looks like the small nu looks like a little V. So when someone says, what's new, you can accurately answer the 13th letter of the Greek alphabet. Hope you all have a very safe and happy New Year. And remember, it's always now. So be here now. Live simply so that others may simply live. And ask not what Mother Earth can do for us, but what we can do or stop doing on behalf of Mother Earth. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. He wahi tapu, wahi arahi mai, nya tahora, nya aihi, nya ani wa niwa, nya mitukaya yasin. May we all do our best to transform Wasichu Koyanaskatsi into Lolamai Kuakatsi so that the people of one heart of all the kingdoms of life might be nurtured as the seeds of the new creation. This is Jeff Weverson signing off. And Weffy-ups! Oh, this is my family of creatures. They want to wish you... We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, that's my newest little addition to the family. We've got Felicity the Fish and Big Teddy and Teddy and Heidi and Wally and Ruby Ann. And we've also got Huckleberry. Huckleberry is a little hound dog I found by the side of the road. How are you, Huckleberry? Woof, 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 woof. Weffy-ups, I'm so glad you found me by the side of the road there. I was abandoned and I was hurt and I was stranded on the beach and you rescued me. And now you put a little friendship bracelet around my neck today.
I know, and I need to fix, one of his eyes is missing, and so we need to get an eye transplanted somehow. But now I've got 7 little beautiful creature kaitiakis, and we'll have to do an interview with them sometime soon. And coming up soon is going to be my legendary interview with Grant Knowles, my beautiful friend who does so many wonderful things here. And also, an upcoming show is going to be with my friend James Wilkinson, the legendary guitar player and electric bass player who I've been recording some music with here lately. I've already got our show with him recorded. So anyway, lots of goodness coming up. And then by the end of January, I'll be recording some shows from Hawaiki, which is going to be really cool. All right. You guys take care and talk soon.
Good day.
Thank you.